Body, Mind, Spirit Radio, your life connection to the information for a healthy body, an enlightened mind, and a renewed spirit.
Good morning, everybody. Today is August 11th, 2014, and it is Monday, 10 a.m. Eastern Time, and you're listening live with Body, Mind, Spirit Radio and In Touch Interviews. I'm so excited that we have Share International back today. They did an interview with us a couple months ago. I believe it was in April, and we have Sheila Forrester from Share International here with us today to discuss transmission meditation and some of the other things that we didn't get to discuss about Share International. So I'm very excited to have her, and I'm going to bring her on. So without further ado, welcome to the show, Sheila.
Well, thank you, Courtney. Good morning to you. It's a pleasure to be on.
Well, thank you so much for being here. Mm-hmm. Now, I know a couple of months ago we talked with Share International, and they talked a lot about what you guys do and what you guys stand for and so forth and so on. But can you tell us, maybe go over that just a little bit? What is Share International?
Yeah, absolutely. Share International is a worldwide group of volunteers who inform the public about the presence in the world today of great teachers led by the world teacher Maitreya. And they also inform the public about a service-related practice called transmission meditation. And I've been volunteering with Share International for almost 25 years now.
Oh, wow.
Long time. I'm old.
I highly doubt that. We'll say you're 28. How about that?
That's great. I'll go with that.
25 years, that's amazing. What got you into Share International? What got you interested in volunteering?
In volunteering. Well, my first kind of involvement with Share International began with transmission meditation. And that started back in shortly after 1985, after the birth of my first child, Laura, who was born very early, preemie, back in 1985. And the doctors at that time gave Laura only a 30% chance of surviving. Well, back then, I really had no interest at all in spiritual matters, and in fact, didn't even believe in God. But with the kind of frightening prospect of losing my first baby, I just started to pray and pray and pray, and was praying that God, there was a God that was listening, in a sense. So that crisis, you know, that challenge that I faced with Laura, and just praying really opened me up to kind of spirituality. It was my divine wake-up call, if you'd like to call it that. And the good news, Laura is 28 years old today and is a beautiful woman inside and out. And shortly after, you know, she was on the road to recovery, a friend recommended that I try meditation, and that there was a group that was meeting in the small town where we lived at in Wheeling, West Virginia. To my great fortune, it was a transmission meditation group, and that was in 1986, and they continue to meet today. And I recall the first evening I went into the group, the facilitator went over the core concepts of transmission meditation, which is about service, you know, giving back to the world, as well as working on ourselves spiritually. And both of those ideas resonated with me, even though I had never meditated before, in this lifetime anyway. And that, again, was in 1986. And today, transmission meditation continues to be a real integral part of my life.
Wow, that's amazing.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. And I'm glad that it helped, too, and that your daughter is live and well. Talk to us a little bit about transmission meditation. What exactly is that?
Transmission meditation, which I love, it's a group activity where three or more people come physically together to invoke healing, transformative energies into the world. the groups allow these energies to move through them, and as they do so, they're stepped down, the energies, their vibration, which is very high initially, but they're, as they move through the group, the energies are stepped down to a level that makes them more usable for more people. Once the energy is stepped down, it's redirected out into the world where it's needed the most. Now that's a, you know, kind of a broad definition, and I'm happy to, you know, really kind of dig into those ideas.
Well, for those out there that are listening, I know that most people listening probably know what meditation is, but what is the difference mm-hmm. between, you know, normal meditation and transcendental meditation?
Right, right. The difference between, well, first of all, most your listeners, and I'm sure you're aware that meditation has been on the planet for thousands of years, especially in the East. It kind of got its big boom here in the United States in the 60s during the hippie era. And today, fortunately, meditation is more mainstream. Science is on board with affirming all the benefits when we do meditation on a daily round, you know, from boosting the immune system to alleviating our stress to improving our mental clarity. In fact, I was just reading last week an article by CNN where there is a study currently going on in California at the University of California in San Francisco, led by a Nobel Prize biochemist, Elizabeth Blackburn. She's attempting to prove scientifically that meditation actually lengthens our lives and slows down the aging process. So a lot of people meditate for those reasons, and yet the ultimate benefit of meditating is a spiritual one. And that the purpose behind any meditation is for us to come into contact with and eventually at one with our soul, also called the higher self, the God within, really that deepest essential aspect, eternal aspect that we all are. That's why we meditate ultimately. What's beautiful about transmission meditation is that it's both a meditation and a service. And maybe I just add to that that the teachings that I studied, they're called the Ageless Wisdom Teachings, were given to understand that there are three kind of great pillars that lead us into greater consciousness, lead us into enlightenment. And those pillars are meditation, service, and spiritual study that helps us develop more of our, you know, our abstract mind. And again, transmission meditation combines two of those pillars, meditation and service, into a relatively easy yet very potent way to serve. That's the difference between most of the, you know, getting back to your question, most meditations lead us into contact with the soul. Transmission meditation also does that, but it also is a mode of service for those who do it. So it's quite unique.
Okay, wow. Mm-hmm. It definitely has a ring to it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you talked about spiritual study. That pillar is not included in transmission meditation?
Yes, I would say that you know, the transmission meditation is two of those pillars, meditation and service.
Okay. I just thought that was kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So, and as far as service, talk a little bit about that. How is this a service? Are you working with others to heal them? Are you working with others to teach them? How is that considered?
Yeah, that is a great question. The service that comes in with transmission meditation is that the groups, and there's over 600 groups throughout the world that meditate. I believe in 40 countries is the last count I've heard. They come together and they invoke great energies. spiritual energies, and I can talk a little bit about, you know, how we gain access to them. But they invoke spiritual energies that we're given to understand are so crucial in healing the world and helping us to move forward in a very good way. And so we're told that these energies are very high in vibration. They come from different sources, planetary, from our highest planetary existence here on our planet, Shambhala. They also are extraplanetary, coming from within our solar system, from the sun, extrasolar, from Sirius, the Great Bear, where the seven rays originate. So these energies are very, very high in vibration. And if the masters, and we can talk about them, if the masters who oversee these transmission groups, if they would simply direct these high vibrational energies out into the world, they would, because of the rate of vibration, bounce off the bulk of humanity. And so the service comes into the transmission where the groups come physically together. They invoke these energies. The masters direct them through the group, through their etheric body, their chakras. We can talk about that too. And as they move through the chakras, we're given to understand that these energies, these high vibrational energies, lower, the rate lowers to a level that makes them more available to more people. That's the real service. This whole process is very scientific. We're told the masters were in very good hands with them. And what the analogy is, you know, for example, if you would take 220 voltage electricity, and if you or I would touch that, it would electrocute you. It would kill you. But if that high voltage is sent first through, you know, a transformer, that energy, that high energy is stepped down to, say, 110 voltage, which makes it more available, more safe for more people to charge a battery, to light a light bulb, that kind of thing. So really, that's the service that comes into the transmission. The groups step down these energies on as a service to everyone on the planet.
I'm very glad that you gave that analogy because that makes sense.
Okay.
And it kind of puts it into perspective for those
Great.
Of you out there are listening. So I'm very glad that you gave the analogy. I actually, it's a great visual to see how you guys do what you're doing. And I think that's amazing. 40 countries. Wow.
Wow. Isn't that great?
Now, you talk about masters. What is their involvement in transmission meditation, and what are they to you guys?
Right. Well, the masters are, well, maybe first just define them a little bit in case your listeners aren't familiar with the idea, but the masters are very enlightened beings from our Earth humanity. These are men and women just like us who are traveling the evolutionary journey here on the planet, and yet the difference between them and us is that they've completed the path. They have learned everything there is to learn on this planet. And after this long, long cycle of learning, many of them consciously choose to remain with us. Why is that? To guide and inspire us, because what they have achieved in enlightenment really lies as a goal for each and every one of us here on this planet. We'll all become masters in either a very, you know, distant lifetime or a very near lifetime. In the East, the masters have been known for thousands and thousands of years, and they are becoming more known here in the East, or in the West, through a long line of teaching that dates back since the late 1880s, first through Helena Blavatsky, co-founder of the Theosophical Society, Alice A. Bailey, and most currently Benjamin Krem. So these are enlightened men and women, and they are no longer bound by the laws of karma or rebirth. And what they, the masters, really are what I would say custodians of the divine plan for our planet. And that plan involves energies, very high energies. Again, I mentioned where they originate from. And so the masters know that these are high energies, and they are looking for groups to help step these energies down. And so when we invoke these energies, and that might be good to talk about the Great Invocation, before a transmission meditation group begins, they sound aloud what's called the Great Invocation. Now, this is a very powerful mantram that was given to humanity by the masters through Alice Bailey, a great esotericist, back in, I believe, 1945. It's languaged in a way that when it is sounded by the group, it energies begin to come flow through the group, and it also links us up with the masters, and the masters tune into the transmission meditation groups and begin to direct this energy, these energies, through the group members. And so that is the, back to your question, that is how the masters are involved with the transmission meditation groups. They have these energies. They know which ones are needed most in the world and at what potency, what direction, and they're looking for the transmission groups to step the energy down.
Now, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, you talk about masters. Mm-hmm. Now, would this be mm-hmm. maybe the same as what we consider ascended masters?
Yes, they're known by so many different names, Courtney. Ascended masters, Petrovna Blavatsky, Helena, she referred to them as the great Mahatmas. They're known as the masters of wisdom, the lords of compassion, the great white brotherhood. Also, just simply called the teachers. I refer to them also as our elder brothers and sisters. So yes, these are, you know, can be considered the ascended masters. Jesus, the Master Jesus, would be considered an ascended master in the teachings. Buddha,
okay.
You know, so
I
forth.
Was just, I was just curious if it, you know, it followed the same line. Because,
yes,
you know, a lot
does.
Of people do know them as the ascended masters, and
mm-hmm.
I've heard of them as the Great White Brotherhood before.
Right.
I've heard connotations. So for those out there listening, they just may have heard of them in a different way.
Exactly. It's a good point.
So mm-hmm. I just wanted to make sure we had that out there for anybody who is listening.
Mm-hmm.
Now, walk us through one of your guys' transmission meditation.
Sure.
You know, the types of divine energies which flow through. You know, what does it look like? What does it feel like for you guys?
Well, I'm happy to do that. And we come physically together. I mentioned earlier that three people form a basic transmission meditation group. More the merrier, but three form a triangle. And what we do is we come physically together. We're given to understand that three people who come physically together, that the masters are able to direct and circulate more energy through a group that comes physically together than, say, those three people that would meditate, you know, apart. And so we begin the meditation again by sounding the Great Invocation aloud. We do that aloud. And as we do that, it's like, well, kind of like a bell goes off. The masters, you know, respond to our invocation and begin to tune into the group. And they don't really necessarily tune into the personality per se. They don't tune into Sheila or Sally, but they tune into our etheric body. Behind all manifested form, including our bodies, is an etheric counterpart. And so they tune into our etheric body. And maybe we can talk a little bit about that our etheric body has within it chakras, and we have seven major chakras that are aligned, five of which are aligned along the spine, and the other two are aligned within the head. That we also have very many minor chakras, but the masters tune into the chakras of the members of the group before they begin to direct the energy, because they need to know how much energy any group member can take, and they can tell by the condition of our chakras where we are on the path, you know, how open the chakras are, how much light is flowing in and out, how fast they're spinning. So they know precisely how much of this high energy any member can take at any given transmission. And so, you know, in a sense, we're never, ever in harm doing transmission meditation. In fact, it does us great, great good. But they tune into the group and they begin to direct this energy into our chakras. And again, as I said, as those energies move through our chakras, primarily the heart, the throat, and the head centers, the energy is stepped down. Once it's stepped down, the masters themselves redirect the energy out into the world where they know it's needed the most. What the group, you know, it's amazing. The masters take all the guesswork out of this. You know, they are the master scientists. They know exactly what energies the group members can take in, at what potency. Then they redirect it out into the world where they know, you know, is needed the most. The only thing that the group has to do is a simple technique, and it's called holding your attention. It's called the Ajna Center in the forehead area. Maybe your members are familiar with that, the point between the eyebrows. Some people call it the third eye. It's not quite the third eye, but it's the sixth major etheric chakra located between the eyebrows. And there's good reason for that. When we hold our attention at the Ajna Center, it creates this conduit between our physical brain and the soul. It's really, you've probably heard about the bridge of light or the rainbow bridge. In Sanskrit, it's called the Antahkarana. It is that connection that we initially in our development were unconscious of, but as we, you know, move further onto the path, we consciously build that bridge to the soul. And that's the technique that we're asked to do in transmission meditation. Keep our attention high, because the masters who are on kind of on the Buddhic plane, which is kind of esoteric, from their level, they direct the energies down to the soul level of the group, from the soul level down into the chakras of the group. So it's important for us to keep our attention up there. And it sounds like an easy technique, but in practice, especially people who first begin, they find a little difficulty keeping their attention for any length of time at the Ajna Center, and there's good reason for that. The ageless wisdom teachings tell us that most of humanity currently is polarized, in a sense, on the astral plane. They're more emotionally centered, which is fine. But that our center of attention or focus is typically, because we're more emotionally polarized, our focus is in the heart center or maybe even the solar plexus. So keeping your attention up to the Ajna Center is kind of, you know, a little bit of an effort. And it's fine, you know, because most people, and I know I did, and still continue to do that after over a decade of doing transmission meditation. You know, I go into the transmission, I know I have my attention there at the Ajna Center. A thought or an emotion, you know, brings it down, you know, maybe to the heart or the solar plexus, but that's fine. What we do, we have a wonderful little mantra that the groups use, and that is OM, O-M. whenever we find that our attention has shifted down from the Ajna center, we think Om, or silently sound it. It has a vibratory resonance with the head centers. And so it's just a matter of kind of developing this mental muscle of, you know, having your attention at the Ajna center, noticing it's not there, thinking or silently sounding Om, because it's more powerful, believe it or not, to think Om than say it aloud. And if you give it time and effort, you know, slowly but surely, you'll find you don't need to sound the Om as often as you did earlier. And so that's pretty much what it's, a silent meditation. There's no visualizations or chanting or anything like that, which are all good, but that doesn't occur in transmission meditation. It's simply giving yourself up for however long the group meets, keeping your attention high at the Ajna center and allowing the energies to flow.
Now, because the masters kind of, I don't know if that's the right word, but kind of take control, they kind of lead the group, you know, do you find that a lot of people come and try this or step into this with a lot less fear?
With a lot less, I'm sorry?
Fear, because of the fact that they're not going to take on any more energy than they can handle and so forth and so on?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there's lots of material online about transmission meditation. The book that Benjamin Krem wrote, should mention him. He's lives in London, and he introduced transmission meditation back in 1974 and wrote a book called Transmission, A Meditation for the New Age, which outlines all aspects of transmission. And, to my mind, the masters have planetary consciousness. And, again, they know exactly how much energy any group member can take. And so we truly, truly are in very, very safe hands with the masters. I've never been given, and again, I've been doing it for a long time, and I know people in the United States who have been transmitting longer than I have, who've never been given more energy than their chakras can take. So it's very safe. It's not, you know, some people come in the group thinking, oh, I want to make contact with the masters. It's not a way to meet the masters, but it's a way to work with them. And this is really unique about a meditation in that we actually have the opportunity, kind of the privilege, to work with these great titans of consciousness. So I recall when I first began transmission meditation, a claim that Benjamin Krem made, and initially I was a bit skeptical about it. I thought, but now I'm right on board. Benjamin Krem makes this claim that 1 year of steady transmission meditation is equivalent to, say, 5, 10, maybe even 15 years of a personal meditation. And that's because of the energies that come through the group. They are truly high and pure, and they move us forward in just the most wonderful way.
Well, you actually answered my next question, because most people assume that when you do meditation, that you're able to connect to, you know, ascended masters or spirit guides or archangels, you know, gods, goddesses, you know, anything that you kind of have that faith in. They feel like they can receive messages, you know, connect with them, see them. With transmission meditation, that you're capable of working with them, but the goal is not necessarily to see them and have that one-on-one, so to speak.
Exactly. I mean, there is the possibility, as you say, to connect with higher guides, angels, the masters, but we keep that separate from the transmission meditation, and that, again, that's been my experience for throughout the 25 years or more that I've been doing it. I've never received guidance or a message from the masters. It just doesn't happen. You know, they're looking for men and abled, you know, men and women who are willing to sit down and step these energies down. That's the whole, you know, the service behind the transmission. And we leave the personal meditation, which I do, you know, I think I would imagine you do, and probably a lot of your listeners, we do that personal, you know, connection at a different time.
Mm-hmm. Well, but this is a way for you guys to kind of just flow that energy so that you guys are helping aid the earth. You're
exactly.
giving that.
Exactly.
So, I mean, it's actually a beautiful concept, because at the end of the day, yeah, you can do your personal, you know, meditation to connect and receive messages and guidance, but this mm-hmm. isn't service for humanity and the earth. This is
exactly.
completely different. So
exactly.
it has very strong, beautiful concept to it. Now, let's say somebody wants to do transmission meditation. Is there any prerequisites? Is there anything that mm-hmm. we would need to learn? How do you get started?
Yeah, that's so a great question, Courtney. There is no pre-experience to do meditation at all. That's the first meditation that I came in contact with back in the 80s. And so there's no, you know, prerequisite there, really only kind of a desire. There has to be some level of desire to give back to the world, to serve in some way. Otherwise, I don't think a person would stay with transmission meditation. But if they are interested in meditation, that speaks to me that they are at some level already connected to the soul, because it's the soul who wants us to meditate. You know, the personality for the most part doesn't, you know, we're busy, you know, the personality is kind of governed by activity, you know, and we know ourselves through thought, feeling, actions, and anything that really slows that activity down, really the personality doesn't like. You know, it sees it, you know, as a prescription for its own demise. So the personality alone won't meditate, but if you're connected at all with your soul, you will. So you know that the soul's in the game when you're interested in doing meditation. But back to your question, three people form a basic group. Find, if you're interested, find two other friends who want to meet in kind of a regular, committed way, because the masters, once you start doing transmission meditation, they come to rely on these groups to step this energy down. It's like they know at a given date, a day and a time, they know that there's a group that's going to be meeting on the physical plane to do this work. So it's encouraged that there's a regularity and a commitment to that. You know, no infringement on free will. If you find it's something you don't want to do, then you don't do it. But the three people, you know, come together. And most transmission groups meet in a person's home. You know, it's pretty easy. Or they find free, inexpensive community space. Our group here in Pittsburgh meets and has been since 1990 at the Friends Meeting House, and it's a wonderful space there that they've provided for us every Monday evening. But the other groups in Pittsburgh meet at people's homes. So, you know, there's lots of material online. I coordinate transmission meditation for Michigan and nine other states in the Midwest. People can contact me, you know, for support. I can provide free literature. And there's a wonderful website, transmissionmeditation.org, where there's an online video and audio materials of Benjamin Krem being interviewed and, outlining the basic ideas. It's really relatively simple. All you need are three people, the great invocation to sound, hold the focus of the Ajna Center, and off you go.
And I just am curious, how long do these sessions last?
Yeah, well, that's a great question, Courtney. The London group, the London, England group, the one that Benjamin Krem formed in 1974, I just was in London for my first time in July and had the privilege to kind of hang out with the group and meditate with them. Now, this group is high-powered. They meet and transmit energies three nights a week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and they transmit step these energies down for as long as they flow. And Benjamin Krem says that they flow in his group no less than 3 hours. They've gone 5, 6, 7 hours. Now, that is a heck of a model. Most groups, you know, can't sustain that. The larger groups in the United States, I know San Francisco, New York, Dallas, Atlanta, Denver, these groups meet 2 to 3 times a week for 2 or 3 hours. Pittsburgh group, we meet once a week for 2 hours, kind of lightweights, I guess. But most groups, I would say, you know, especially if they're new, they start off with maybe 15 minutes and they build up to an hour. You know, it doesn't sound like a lot of time, and yet we're told that hour for hour, there's really no greater service that we can provide, that this energy, even if we're doing transmission for an hour and we come into alignment for a couple of minutes within that hour, it is so potent and such a service that, you know, we're encouraged to do it at any length of time that we have. So, you know, it's really up to the group to decide how long they want to transmit and when and where.
Wow, that's amazing. Mm-hmm. Seriously, mm-hmm. 7 hours?
I know. Can you believe that? It's just, I can imagine. And when I was, you know, we did the transmission those evenings with Benjamin Krem's group, wow, it was so powerful. There was the energy was so power and potent because it's just built up all these years. These people are heavy, heavy-duty transmitters. It's just amazing. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to ask, you know, when you guys are in these sessions and you're raising this, you know, potent energy, does mm-hmm. time just kind of fade away for all of you guys?
You know, it does. It does. When you're aligned at the soul level, an hour feels like 15 minutes. And for me, you know, we do 2 hours here in Pittsburgh, but for me, the second hour is the best because the first hour, especially the first 15 minutes or so, you know, I'm dealing with the chitta, the mind, you know, all that mental activity that's going on, and I've brought in, you know, the course of the day with me. But, you know, the longer I sit there and, you know, attempt to hold my attention at a higher chakra, that all starts to fall away. And the longer I meditate, the better it is for me. So it does fly by when you're aligned. It doesn't mean that you don't have thoughts during transmission meditation. They do, you know, if you can keep your attention high, you just sort of let those thoughts do their thing, but you try not to follow them in a sense. The less thought, the better. But most people, you know, deal with that, you know, the mind activity. And so if we said that you can't have mind, you know, thoughts entering in and out, then no one would want to do transmission meditation. So, but no, it does. Once you're aligned, you know, your physical brain with the soul, that, you know, it does seem to fly by.
Now let's talk about mm-hmm. intention. You keep going back to that. Now, what exactly is that? And how is that set for the group?
Intention, you say?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. The intention in the transmission meditation is that I'm going to kind of make the decision using my will, in a sense, that I will bring my attention up to the Ajna Center and attempt to hold it there. Again, because most people aren't, their center of attention isn't at the Ajna Center. So we have to set our intention to do that, our intention, and keep the attention up at the Ajna Center. So it's just really, you know, we make, you know, we intend to do a lot of things in the course of the day, you know, do grocery shopping or whatever it might be. And the same with transmission meditation. We set our intention that we're here and we're wanting to be greater vehicles for this divine energy, this light and love and will to come into the world. And so that's where the intention comes into play.
Okay. Now, let's talk about the Ajna Center a little bit, because we haven't kind of went over that thoroughly. You know, you kind of explained that is a little bit of a correlation of the third eye. Like, we would know it as the third eye. How do you guys connect with that? How do you work with people to connect with that if their center is focused maybe at their root chakra or their heart or, you know, crown? How do you help people work with that center a little bit more?
Mm-hmm. It's the sixth major etheric chakra that's located right between the eyes. The third eye, we're told, brings in this sixth chakra, but it also kind of incorporates the seventh chakra at the top of the head, the crown. And over courses of lifetimes of, you know, again, the three pillars, meditation, service, and spiritual study, it becomes an interplay between those two great head centers, and the third eye, in a sense, is born. You know, we have this great soul vision that happens gradually, incrementally. And so, you know, when people come into the group and that their attention may be, as you said, you know, solar plexus, heart, we let them know that's fine. You know, most people, you know, are centered more kind of emotionally. And just, you know, use your intention, pull it up. People can do that. You know, bring your attention up to the forehead area and use the Om. Use that ancient mantra Om. And use it as often as you have to keep your attention up there. Now, doing that is kind of like developing a muscle. You know, you go to the gym, you've got the, you know, you're trying to build these muscles. This is more of a mental muscle. Again, if you give something like this, if you give anything time and effort, you begin to see results. And people will find that the longer they do this transmission meditation, the better they are at keeping their attention high in the forehead area. And Courtney, this is an amazing, really, ability to have, because not only does it help us to think more mentally, more clearly, but it is helping us to take the next step forward in our development here. As most of us know, we've entered this new age of Aquarius. And for the age of Aquarius, humanity's next step in spiritual development is becoming mentally polarized. And that does not mean that emotions are bad or that we suppress our emotions. But in the new age, for the next 2,000 years, we'll be blending actually the heart and the mind together. And so instead of having, you know, this me, myself, and I mentality, we'll have more of a we mentality. We won't be being directed by just our emotions or alone, what feels right to me, you know, what feels just good to me, and who cares about anybody else. But when we become mentally polarized, we'll think of ideas and we'll say, is that something that is good for everyone? In a sense, we'll be more soul aligned. You know, we'll be working together on ideas and goals that work for all of humanity, not just for ourselves. And so doing transmission meditation helps in this process of becoming mentally polarized. And it's just a wonderful thing. You know, during the day, I often just stop and think, okay, where's my attention? you know, is it at the heart center or is it at the Ajna center? And I just sound the Om and bring it up. And again, that is a beautiful thing. It helps, again, build that great bridge of light to the soul. And that's really the name of the game, you know, here on the planet. That's why we're here, is to become more, you know, soul infused, so the soul can really, you know, express itself through us and serve.
Well, I think what you guys are doing is beautiful, and I think it's beautiful work as well. Mm-hmm. And I'm so glad that I got a chance to talk to you today
to talk more. Oh, me too.
Now, I do see that we're starting to run a little bit low on time, so is there anything that we didn't get to talk about as far as transmission meditation that you would like to cover?
Yeah, I'd love to make the point and kind of elaborate on the point that I mentioned earlier about the masters redirecting the step-down energy out into the world. Benjamin Krem says there is no end to the usefulness of this energy. He says that it could be the masters could direct this energy out into the world to help avert war or to aid the thousands of people that are affected by the physical catastrophes that are occurring more often in the world. The energy helps to create certain conditions. And one thing which I love, we're told that this step-down energy is directed to the millions of men and women in the world today who are making an uplifting contribution to the world in whatever field they may be working in, political, economic, maybe they're working in the environmental realm, social, religious, whatever it is. We can truly say, according to Benjamin Krem and the Masters, that by doing transmission meditation, we are actually strengthening the hands of these men and women, whether we're out on the front line with them or not, and whether they're consciously aware that they're being spiritually, energetically nourished. And that makes me feel really good. And it speaks that transmission meditation really is kind of a behind-the-scenes way of serving, behind-the-scenes, but very powerful. And the second point on that is that the masters do direct these energies into the world. I recall vividly, to my dismay, years and years ago when I first started to do transmission meditation, I would come into the group and think, oh, golly, wouldn't it be wonderful to direct energy that we're stepping down tonight to, say, the Middle East or these people, because they could really use some good energy. The masters ask us not to do that. Why? Because we're not, or at least I can speak for myself, I am not a master. I don't have planetary consciousness. I don't know what energies are being directed specifically through that transmission that given night, or which energies, you know, seven rays, whatever it might be, needs to go into a situation. And in fact, we're told sometimes the masters pull energy away from a certain situation. They try to create a vacuum to calm things down. So in my naivety, directing energy out there to that area might be doing more harm than good. So we're asked not to do that. You know, our role is really to keep the attention high at the Ajna Center to be part of the transmission. That was one part that I felt we really should go through.
Well, can you also give us some information about how we can find more about Share International and connect with you guys?
Absolutely, absolutely. Two websites I'd love to give, the first one being Share's. And it's share-international.org. And the second one is simply transmissionmeditation.org. There you'll find a wealth of information about transmission meditation and about these great teachers who we believe are returning to the everyday world. There's Benjamin Krem's book. You'll find on the Share International website. It's called, again, it's called Transmission, A Meditation for the New Age. It's available to purchase on Amazon, but there's also, let your listeners know, there's a free download to this book on the Share International website for them to download. But if they're like I am, I love a hard copy. So you can get that either through Share or Amazon. If you'd like to speak to me personally, we have a Share International regional toll-free number that you could reach me for questions, or if you'd like to learn more, if you'd like to get a group started, I'd be happy to help in any way. And that toll-free number is 800-860-8035.
Well, I think that's wonderful. It's kind of funny because I've had a lot of people come to me lately and ask me to do something with meditation, so I think you'll be hearing from me.
That would be really great. I'd be happy to hear from you.
Yeah, I think what you guys are doing is wonderful, and the opportunity to actually give back and kind of filter that energy through to help the world and help humanity and so forth, I think that's very beautiful.
Yeah, thank you, thank you. You did mention, and I don't know if I answered that entirely, about prior expertise. Again, no prior meditations required, and there's truly no belief system that is needed to be adopted in order to do transmission meditation. We have people in these groups all over the United States that come from various, you know, religious backgrounds and no faiths at all. So if anything, you know, if you have to accept anything, which you really don't, but, you know, the idea that we live in an energetic universe and energies condition all life on this planet, if you want to accept that idea, and that there is a greater life, a greater life from on high that loves us dearly and watches over us. Call that whatever you'd like to. I'd just like to say that, you know, if folks are looking for a way to serve and at the same time grow spiritually, transmission meditation might be for them. It might not be. We're not bereft of spiritual paths, meditations, modalities to move us forward. And my wish is always that we find that right path, that right technique that brings us into more love, more joy, more peace in our lives. So anything else I'm happy to talk about?
Well, I was just going to say, I think you bring up a great point that, you know, it doesn't matter what religion you practice or preach, that, you know, we all believe in energy. We all believe in connecting with that energy, in, you know, that source. So I feel like, in a way, this is actually bringing people closer together no matter what their beliefs are.
Right,
because you recognize their common good.
Exactly, and I often feel that you know, if you're doing another meditation, transmission actually enhances it even more. Again, because we're building that rainbow bridge, we're building that great antakarana to the soul and beyond. I mean, we're on this path together to, you know, we don't know where. I mean, to the Godhead, and meditation is foundational in that journey, and service is foundational as well. So it's, you know, again, a beautiful thing that, you know, humanity is awakening and we're taking our spirituality seriously and doing whatever we can to become more, to, you know, make that shift into greater consciousness.
Well, Sheila, I would like to thank you for joining me today and speaking with me. I truly appreciate it.
Absolutely.
And I greatly appreciate the work that all of you guys are doing out there that are involved in Share International. Was there any maybe final comment or final word that you would like to leave us with today?
Just that it's been a pleasure to talk with you. And also, you know, I don't know if we're broadcasting from Michigan, but there are two transmission meditation groups there, one in Oxford and the other one in Marquette, which I believe is much further north. We'd mm-hmm. love to, you know, have more transmission groups, you know, form there. And again, I would be happy to help anyone get started if they'd like to pursue that.
Well, we are broadcasting live from Michigan. We're actually in West Michigan, Wayne County. So any of our listeners out there that are interested, please, you know, contact Share International. Definitely get involved with this. It sounds beautiful. Mm-hmm. Just speaking with you, I can feel that energy flow of what you guys are doing is amazing.
Wow.
So definitely contact Sheila and Share International and become involved if it feels right for you.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to thank you so much for joining me today and being here and talking about what you're doing, and I want to wish you the best of luck.
Well, thank you, Courtney. It's been a pleasure. Best wishes to you as well.
Well, thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
If you are listening live, you are listening live with Body, Mind, Spirit Radio and In Touch Interviews, and we were just interviewing Sheila Forrester from Share International. I want to thank her again for being here with us today. And if you are interested in being on Body, Mind, Spirit Radio, or you would like to be interviewed on Body, Mind, Spirit Radio, please contact me at radio@bodymindspiritguide.com, or you can give me a call at 734-513-6137. I would love to talk to you with your business, about your product, about what you're doing in the community to help. You know, anything that is holistic and spiritual, contact me. I love interviewing people and I love working with new people and new ideas. So I want to thank Sheila once again for being here, and I want to wish everybody a happy Monday. And if you're here in Michigan, please stay dry. Thank you. Bye-bye.